What is up? My name is Kevin Wu, and I'm an online fitness coach who helps men in their 20s lose weight and get abs for the first time through mindset, nutrition, and training. That's enough about me. Let's get right into today's episode.
Hey, what's going on? Welcome to Live to Inspire podcast. Today is Tuesday. That means I hop on a Zoom call with my clients, go over a couple topics they requested. So fighting difficult slash digestion slash gas, switching from a cut to a bulk properly, when to do medicine ball plyometrics slash explosive intensity exercises, how do you know what weight is perfect, combat snacking slash sugar cravings, should I eat before the gym, after the gym, how much is too much, are all fruits good, are there any you should avoid or limit, how to combat bloat slash sodium and water retention, and what is the proper volume for training of gains? Well, proper volume of training for gains. So let's go dive right in. Fighting difficult digestion slash gas. Now, the best way to kind of almost go about this one is going to be basic prevention. So let's just say if we're putting out fires all the time, like if there's like a fire, because I'm in Canada right now, pretty much close to Jasper-ish, and there's like a lot of forest fires out there. And yes, it's kind of hard to prevent that. But let's just say if there's more rain over there, then it would prevent a lot of the forest fires from happening, right? So if there's a lot more water in that area, a lot more humid, probably would prevent it, these fires in the first place. It's kind of relating to this one, is basically preventing it. So all the foods that you do eat, either they get digested in a way that might agree with your body or might not, right? Now, it's typically a list of foods that people do kind of agree with. Now, there's also individual differences too as well. Like, for example, for me, I did a DNA test and I found out I'm very sensitive to pretty much like all food colorings, all artificial sweeteners. I'm very sensitive to all that stuff, and also really high reactive to pork as well. And was it semi-reactive to like fish, like cod and like some other white fish on that aspect. But this all also peanuts too as well, which I apparently am semi-reactive, which I did not know about. I love my peanut butter. But with that being said, other people would not have those problems. So there's also some individual differences, and that's where kind of allergies do come from and stem from too as well. Like you might know somebody who has a really bad peanut allergy or a gluten allergy or something like that, where at every single restaurant, they make sure they have to, like they had to specify no peanuts whatsoever on that aspect, or they could have a very severe allergic reaction and go to the hospital, right? So there's also some differences over there. Now, fighting such difficult digestion size gas, we're going to go, I'm going to use both kind of ways. Well, number one is when you notice, let's say you do eat some foods, like I mentioned, some individual differences and this kind of aspect, like for me, even for broccoli itself, it does cause some more gasiness than indigestion almost. So I eliminated from that from my diet, more so during my prep, bottom line prep, to really maximize my results over there, right? So it's finding those foods in this aspect. It's all about kind of paying attention to your body. Right. So let's just say, like for another example, for me, like ground beef is a very healthy food. Most people consider that one very healthy. Now, if I eat grass-fed ground beef, I have no problems. I feel great after that. But if you eat regular ground beef, like let's say from Costco or Walmart or like that, I feel a little more lethargic after. I feel more gassy. When I eat grass-fed ground beef, like an hour later, I feel full of energy. I feel great. I don't have any problems. Right. So it's all about finding those foods itself. If you guys notice, let's say you're more gassy, from a bloated or something like that, you have a less energy, let's say 30 minutes, an hour after you eat a specific meal. And maybe it was a component of three things, right? Maybe it was like rice, ground beef, and the broccoli. It's all about kind of eliminating the variables in that sense. Now, rice is typically very easy digesting for everybody, right? So let's just take a look at like the broccoli, right? That's next up on the list over there. If you guys notice this stuff, you guys can message me, because I'm just typically a list of foods that are higher general reactivity for most people and less for others, right? So kind of go down the list and eliminate those and change up those foods to make sure they'll agree with your body. So maybe next up, I'm going to eliminate the broccoli, switch it out for the cucumbers. And usually cucumbers works well with most people. And then you're still getting that gassiness or some bloating, and I might switch out the ground beef for, you know, grass-fed ground beef or even like ground turkey or something like that. And let's just say it still, for some reason, was causing a gassiness bloating. Maybe it was a cucumbers now. Right, for maybe for some reason it wasn't that, switch it out, and we switch out the rice for some reason, right? So it's all about basically eliminating those kind of variables and finding out what exactly it is. But there's a list of the ones that cause more of a reactive state. Like for example, like cheese
Most people, as they kind of grow older, kind of lose that lactate to enzyme, or it's not their ability to digest cheese not as well. So they might get more gas, right? So other people don't really have that problem, right? All right. So with that being said, there's also, let's say, fighting that problem is you could use like probiotics. Right? Probiotics are basically good bacteria. And that is, you can either get that in the form of a pill, or you have like fermented foods like kimchi, some other kind of foods like that. What is it? I can't think of too many top of my mind right now. Kimchi, Greek yogurts, some other ones. I don't want to tip my tongue right now. But probiotics, very good. Fermented foods, very good in that aspect, right? To kind of fight that over there. Also, like apple cider vinegar can help out, and pineapple can help break down some enzymes, especially protein wise. On there. All right, so switching from cuts to bulk properly. So let's just say you're in the phase that you hit your ideal kind of body composition in terms of leanness wise, and you want to kind of bulk up properly. Now, there's kind of a couple ways to go about it. My proper way, best way, is going to be lean bulk, right? So it's kind of reverse dieting in that sense, because most people, when they cut to the bulk, they don't want to just pretty much have to cut right away. And that's a problem a lot of people do, is let's just say they go from cuts and hit the ideal body composition, then they jack up the calories a lot, cut all the cardio out, switch up everything over there. And like 1 month later, they have a lot more fat on them, but they think they have a lot more muscle and gain that. They can only gain muscle at such a fast rate, right? It's a very slow process of muscle building. Losing fat is a much faster rate. So how to actually bulk properly and actually gain, just pretty much gain as much clean muscle as you can, or just muscle, not that fat, is you want to really minimize that fat gain, right? So we do that by very minimally increasing your calories over there. And the only reason about like a 150 calorie surplus is basically what your maintenance is. And that's very dependent on where you act at the cuts, where you kind of end off with, and different metabolism, different people. That kind of sense with different lifestyles, it's going to be different. So that's what my job as coach is to do, is really monitor that in that sense. But also, some people want me to jack up the calories even by quite a bit. Like I know I have one client, like Scott Canada, who had to jack up his calories by like another 1,000 itself. But then he was actually able to kind of gain some weight, because some people want me to jack up the calories, which is good. The metabolism kind of catches up right away, and then they actually start to even lose more weight, which is really good in that sense, in the fact that the metabolism is in a good spot, right? So we had Jack's calories by like 1,000 itself, and then he started to actually kind of gain a little bit of weight over there. So it's kind of finding that sweet ground. So everybody's kind of different. Some people might jack up the calories just a little bit, they're putting on a little fat, but it's just all kind of dependent on how the body reacts. That's my job as a coach, to kind of really play around with those calories, but make sure it's usually on the smaller kind of end of the amount of calories I do increase, and the cardio I do decrease down there, so you can really transition to that properly, right? So with that being said, usually when we're on the bulk too as well, we're able to have more volume in terms of training, because usually recovery is a lot better. Now that we're in a calorie surplus itself, your body has an extra amount of calories to actually help you recover. So this is when I started adding usually a little more sets here and there. We add a little more training intensities that's a little bit harder or something like that, so we could actually utilize more of those calories and to grow as much muscle as possible. And that's also very dependent on other factors like how you're recovering, your sleep too as well. If you're not actually following the diet, you're obviously not having protein intake, or your diet, or you're saying your stress level's high, or your sleep is not very great, I might kind of pull back on that one. So it's very dependent on person to person too as well, on there, right? So typically don't jack up the volume very much if the recovery's not great, like a severe stress period of time, or if sleep's not very great, I'd rather focus on that one, and then jack up the training volume a little bit more kind of later on, so you can actually utilize that better. Because if we're just kind of, you know, having less sleep over there, but jacking the volume now, even though we have more calories, there's some factors that are not going to be able to really recover properly. Recovery is the best or the most important thing, right? So, because when we damage that muscle working out in the gym, our body needs to recover that first before we can actually kind of like grow that, right? So if we're always just damaging muscle, we're not going to really actually be able to repair it. It's like chipping at a wall over there. Or let's say someone's like trying to build like a brick house. If someone's like, you know, taking down a brick and kind of put some guys putting back the brick, some guys taking down the brick, putting back the brick, one for one, it's really kind of going nowhere, right? But now let's say we took down one brick, put back three bricks on there, took down one brick, put back three bricks, you know, then the house is going to get built eventually, right? And that's kind of a similar case with the muscle over there. I said similar because it's not building a house when we're talking about muscles. All right, so next one is like medicine balls, plyometrics, full spin, potential exercises. Now, all that stuff is pretty much more for like athletic training, right? So when people, you see those like medicine ball slams or like all these really explosive stuff, that's pretty much like all athletic training, like people who like to say, or sport specific, like doing football or like going to those high level kind of sports or like running and that stuff like that side of things. That's pretty much all for that. There's really no need for that in like a fat loss or especially muscle kind of building kind of program over there. That's all specific to a skill, right? So everything, let's say, over there is explosiveness. Like, what is that going to help with? Maybe my vertical jump, right? So it's all skill specific now for the fat loss people itself and just trying to look better to beat and really lose fat, gain that muscle. That's not going to really be your best bet, right? So yes, you can absolutely do it, but when it kind of comes down to, let's say, a time perspective, it's all about doing the most we can in the gym to get the most results, right? So if we're doing that stuff versus, let's say, the other exercise I have kind of programmed for you, yes, they're going to both burn calories. Yes, one of them's going to, they're both going to, yeah, burn the calories in that sense. But which one's going to actually end up giving you the results and that body you do want to? It's going to be the ones I do kind of program for you itself in that kind of aspect, right? Maybe not one session, but like cumulatively over time, right? Because we're not going to see results in the one session over there. If we all did, we'd be very happy. So, yeah. How do you know when the weight is perfect to build? So basically, I'll rephrase that in the sense of like, how do you know the weight is perfect for that exercise? Now, for a lot of you guys, especially first starting out over here, or let's say have a new exercise you've never done before, this is going to be a little more kind of challenging to kind of find that perfect weight, right? So, well, obviously, you're going to try to start on the lighter end, because if you go too heavy on that end, let's say in a barbell bench press, you're like, oh, first time barbell bench press, see someone do like three plates, or like, yeah, I'm going to try three plates over there. And yeah, you might not be, for the second you can rock it, might crush it, right? So first of all, always starting the lighter end is going to be the best bet. But when you kind of put on that weight itself and you're doing that weight and you have a rep range, right? Like, let's just say it was, let's go back with the barbell bench press, I guess, right? So the rep range, 10 to 12 reps, three sets. You put on I was going to go with dumbbells because adding the weights might be a little more confusing because you have to have that bar weight. So dumbbells are very straightforward. Dumbbell weight is just dumbbell weight. So let's say you have three sets, 10 to 12 reps on the dumbbell flat press, and you use like 30 pounds, right? And now you get to like the 12 reps itself, and it was like really easy, right? So, okay, well, how easy was it? Could I have done like maybe like six more reps, 10 more reps? Like, how easy was it? That might depend on how much weight I jump up. Now, let's say it was like really easy. I felt like I could do it all day long. I might jump up to like the 55s, right? On that kind of aspect. So 55s, let's just say I still got 12 reps and it was still pretty easy, but you know, obviously a little bit harder than the other ones. Maybe could have, you know, like five reps, six reps over there. So I might jump it up to like a 65. Okay, now I'm a 65 and I'm really pushing it and it's pretty much like, you know, till a failure range, I can't push anymore and I get the 11 reps. So that's the perfect weight for that one itself, because he has three sets, 10 to 12 reps for the 65, and I was really pushing it with my all, and I fell right in that rep range, right? I'm 11 reps, that's 10 to 12 reps over there, and I got 11 reps. That would be the perfect weight for your exercise right there. And that's the first set you would actually start keeping to as well, right? So on the actual program. So you guys, when you guys pull up the workouts, press the start now button, and have all the workouts written on there, that's the first set you're actually going to start writing on there. And you're going to use that 65 pounds for the second set again. If you get 12 reps, great. It's which is the end of rep range. And maybe if you're tell failure, you literally could not do any more, I would stick with the same one. And maybe it was like you felt like maybe you could do, I don't know, two more, something like that, three more. Bump it up to like 70 pounds then, right? And maybe like 10 reps, and that's still in the rep range. So that would be like a perfect weight, right? So next time you do go in for the workout now, you have those numbers logged in, and you don't have to play around the weight anymore. Okay, last time, I finished off with 70 pounds now because I gave that example on the flat dumbbell bench press. I got 10 reps. So I'm going to start off with my first working set of 70 pounds first working set. Yes, you can warm up with lighter weights, right? Do a couple reps with like the 30s, the 50s itself, warm that muscle up and jump right into the 70s. And that's the first working set that you're going to start counting in the actual program, right? So that's a very, very important part because a lot of people start counting, let's say, 30 pounds on that and like 50 pounds. And then for the third set, that's when they started like the 65 pounds, an example I did as a third set. And your first two sets didn't do jack shit, right, in terms of actually causing any change to your body. So that's why every single set that's written out on your program is a working set, something that's actually what you're truly pushing yourself to failure or close to. That's a super, super crucial part. And if you guys are not doing that, you won't see those changes in your body, right? Or maybe very minimal. All right. So hopefully that makes sense. If anyone has any questions on that, you could unmute yourself or just drop in the chat. I'll be happy to answer. Because I really want to make sure that's clarified over there. It's super important. All right. Combat snacking / sugar cravings. Now, one thing when it comes down to sugar cravings is usually when someone has like a little bit of sugar, then they tend to crave more sugar, right? So it's that initial kind of kick in your body's kind of blood sugar on a physiological level. Blood sugar levels jack up and almost like your heart rate kind of goes up a little bit too. You're almost like searching for more sugar. So usually for sugar craving cells, if you could try really cut back as much as you can or eliminate that, that's like the best bet. And usually after a couple of weeks, you pretty much have like none like at all, right? So the initial phase, obviously, is kind of the hardest one. But if not, there's always other options in that sense of like, let's say, instead of going for the barbecue sauce, you use like sugar-free barbecue sauce. Or let's say you're really craving something sweet in this aspect, go for like a diet pop or something there, kind of really kind of curb that kind of craving. Or for example, myself is creating like lower calorie, like higher protein treats. Like let's just say I'm craving like cookies, something like that, or really something sweet. I might have a diet pop. Maybe that doesn't do a trick still. Or B, I'll just have something that's like something sweet, like a protein oatmeal with some blueberries. That is a sweeter thing, but also beneficial towards my goals to help calm that craving. Yes, it's not going to absolutely calm out that craving 100%. Or it can even go to the extent of making like a protein cookie or something like that, find a recipe online and really like mimic that as much as you can and kind of curb that cookie craving, really, right? So there's kind of a couple options that you do kind of have over there. And my kind of go-to is just pretty much having something that's like beneficial towards my goals, like protein ice cream itself, my ninja cream, it's amazing. Or just like the protein oatmeal that is, I know, not exactly going to curb my quick, like not exactly a cookie, but it's like curbing that kind of sugar or sweet craving and that kind of aspect. And obviously it's not going to be like 100% of that, you know, craving cured in that sense, but it's going to do it good enough. All right. So to combat snacking usually kind of comes in the form of when you're kind of bored, right? So if you kind of backtrack in that solution over there, we kind of fill in the gaps of things to kind of do, right? Maybe just go for a walk instead. Maybe kind of fill in your mind, watch the video, just do something else, keep your mind kind of occupied. That's kind of more of the idea of snacking. We tend to, especially like the whole movie kind of thing, when we're just kind of like mindlessly eating, it's kind of finding something to do, right? So if we kind of just eliminate that on that kind of aspect, or just keep yourself occupied with things to do, that could kind of combat the snacking over there. And now if you're a really big snacker in that sense, there's some other lower calorie snacks that can help you out, like even like doing like rice cakes, something like that. But usually when you have fuller meals themselves, like with like protein source, a little bit of fats and some carbs, it's going to fill you up for a longer period of time. Then you're not going to feel the urge to snack even, right? Because when you feel more full itself, like I was going to say, if you guys are with like buffet or something, that stuff yourself so much, I don't even want to look at food anymore. It was like that case, but it's not really, but just very minimal to that case where it's like you're not going to really crave that food or an urge to, because you're going to feel more satiated, right? So actually eating your meals in that kind of sense and the fuller meals can definitely help you out on that end. And should I eat before or after gym? Eat both, hands down, both itself. So you shouldn't eat before the gym to kind of feel your performance, but also after too as well, to mainly make sure that we're able to recover better from that workout. Right. So feeling the workouts, but also after the gym is recovering from that workout. Right. So it's both states. And usually before the gym and after gym, kind of similar kind of meals in the sense that it should be higher in protein itself, actually moderate protein. It's like when I say moderate, it's 30 to like 40 kind of grams. And the carbs, well, it kind of depends on your macros you do have itself, but generally it could range from like 30 to 100 itself. And like lower fats, I would say it's like 5 to kind of like 9 grams in that kind of aspect, because you don't want fat to slow down digestion. And usually before after the gym itself, want to make sure that food is processed more, digested in your body faster to A, so you're not sitting with it in the gym while you're working out, but B, after the gym, so it can actually be utilizing your body to help you recover faster, right? So how much is too much though? is also another kind of question. Well, I wouldn't stuff yourself too much before your kind of workout. It depends on how long your workout is prior to the meal too as well. Like your workout was like 30 minutes and you're eating like, you know, 1500 calories of food itself, it's probably way too much, right? So if you're depending on how close you are to the workout or how far you are from the workout, that would definitely kind of depend over there. But generally, the farther out you are from the workout, you can get away with a little bit more. Like you're doing, let's say 2 hours itself, because you can't really eat within the time window of like 90 to 69 minutes. You probably want a little bit more so that food itself kind of has more time to digest and that kind of aspect. You still have the energy for the gym. And then after the workout, generally you could wait for like 30 minutes or 60 minutes and then have it. If you do it right away, your heart rate is probably really fast still, and you want to generally be in like a rest and digest state called parasympathetic, we call it. So if you're pretty much you eat right after your workout, heart rate's really high, your food's not going to really get digested as well, just because your body's in like a almost like the fight kind of state still, and you want to make it relaxed, right? That's when it's able to really digest the food a lot better over there. So really 36 minutes, kind of calm down the heart rate in that sense. Would be better. Are all fruits good? Most of the fruits are great there. The only fruits that I typically wouldn't really recommend, just more of like a calorie kind of standpoint, are like mangoes. Mangoes are really, really kind of high in those calories over there. Like really add up. Don't really have much nutritional kind of value for what they kind of are. But generally, most other fruits are great. So like you have like pineapple. I know it's a little higher in calories in there, but it can help with digestion, really break down some proteins. I have a pretty much post-workout every single day, grams of it, like blueberries, strawberries, antioxidants, lower calories, can definitely add a lot of volume over there. Orange, great vitamin C, help immunity as well. So pretty much all fruits have their own kind of benefits. Depends what fruit that you really do like kind of the most. All right, so kind of combat bloat / sodium / water retention. Now, this kind of relates back to like fighting difficult digestion / gas, but also when you do have, let's say, eat out, most of the foods are going to be a lot higher in sodium. So that's going to cause a little more retention, just kind of knowing that one. And how to combat it is pretty much prevention. It's like try to, you know, eat out more minimally in that sense. Over there, when you do kind of eat out, it's just kind of choosing those foods. So if you go to an Asian restaurant, you're definitely going to double down, triple down, or have like four times the amount of sodium. And next thing you do wake up itself, you probably will notice your water weights or your scale weights going a lot higher up. But you also look at the food nutrition labels too as well, kind of see like what they kind of have for those ones on that kind of aspect. All right, but actually the next day, kind of following that one to combat it, because that's part of the question, is actually drinking more water. So the next day when you drink even more water itself, like than normal, let's say another like 2 liters, it'll help really kind of flush out that kind of sodium over there. And you guys might notice too as well, when you have, let's say, higher kind of sodium foods, maybe it's pizza that day, the next day, or like Chinese food, the next day you might actually have more face. Your face might blow up a little bit more just because that water retention, right? So definitely want to drink more water, kind of get rid of that over there. All right, so last one is going to be proper volume of training. So when it comes to proper volume of training, usually you want to stick between the 12 to 20 sets per week per muscle group. So this is what I kind of usually program in your program itself. Now, with that being said, there's also kind of back end to it as well. So let's say for your triceps, you might guys notice with your arms, you might have more minimal volume. When we do any shoulder movements or any pretty much chest movements, that is stimulating your triceps. So I almost count, well, I do count pretty much any like your chest movements or your shoulder movements that kind of involve a pressing motion as like half a set, right? So let's say we had six or let's say eight sets on the chest. I would count that as four sets on the triceps for the week directly as well, right? Just, and you may have like three or like, yeah, five exercises directly or five sets directly of the triceps. So the eight plus that five over there, will all kind of add up, right? So hopefully it makes sense in there, because you do have to remember they kind of cross over. But 12 to 20 sets is generally pretty much the standard that we kind of set. If you do more, you might be able to recover from that a little bit, but most people kind of can't, and that is generally the best one, right? I play around training volume a lot on my kind of end. Everybody is different in terms of how much they can actually recover from. Now, if you guys aren't really kind of seeing that progress, well, one is definitely looking at actually how you're training. because you guys are truly training to failure at or close to, like I mentioned earlier, especially with counting your sets, what we call warm sets and calling not working sets, you will see those changes, right? It's how hard you train. The intensity is so much more important than just how much you do, right? So because they're not training hard enough itself, and like truly, because like most people kind of think they're training hard enough, but if they'll just say, I had one coachman is a really, really ingrained this mentality. It was pretty intense. It's like, imagine if somebody had a gun shed and you literally could not do any more reps. I literally think about that every single set I do. I know it's a lot on that kind of aspect, but it really helps me push those extra more reps out there and really make sure I give it my all. And that really changed a lot of things for me. Because before, I had a lot of coaches before, and I worked with 8 in the past, and I played around with all sorts of different ones. Some of them a lot more higher volume, even like 40 sets per week and that stuff. And some even like as low as like the 10 or even like the 8 sets. But the most important part was definitely the training intensity. And I remember even transitioning from a coach that did lower volume to like the super high volume back to there. And I was training with the same intensity. Like I was doing like 30 sets a week per muscle group, or like 25 as that says. And I was definitely having all the overtraining symptoms. Like I was getting sick all the time. I was achy all the time. I had no energy. Just like all the symptoms, if you search up overtraining, I experienced all that. And I voiced I voiced that out when you lowered back down within that kind of range. And I was still training the same. And I definitely, all that went away. And my lifts are actually improving. Because one thing, when I was also doing that much volume, all my lifts were going down week after week too as well, because I was overtraining, right? So it's all about finding that sweet spot. I guarantee you, if you guys do train with that intensity over there, you will see that proper changes in your body, because that's the most important part of it all, right? And that's something most people kind of neglect or overlook, is that intensity. Most people think just doing more and more, it's like, okay, how can I get more exercises? How can I get more sets? That's not the answer over there, right? So think about just focus on intensity and really truly giving your all for all these sets over there. I don't go on my phone. I pretty much just have it on I turn off my Wi-Fi over there. I just have my app for tracking my numbers. And I do get tempted to turn on Wi-Fi and kind of scroll or like go on Instagram, something like that from time to time, but I always have to stop myself. And I just kind of focus on the next set. I focus on the set over there and I just really keep dialed in, right? Because that's ultimately how I'm going to keep my intensity up there, right? All right, so that was it for all these topics on this end. Stop this.
Thank you guys for tuning in to the Live to Inspire podcast, the number one podcast for men in their 20s trying to lose weight and get abs the first time. My mission is to inspire others to be the best version of themselves through fitness. So if you guys are tuning into this episode and want to lose weight and get your abs showing for the very first time, then DM me the words abs on Instagram at KevinWu_. That is KevinWu_. And we'll have a chat whether or not I can help you out lose that weight to get your abs showing for the first time. That is the ending of today's episode of the Live to Inspire podcast. If you learned something today, then make sure to hit that subscribe button so you never miss out on an episode. Also, if you leave a written review on this podcast, that'd be greatly appreciated, because that pushes this podcast to more people just like you.